TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Friday morning. Happy Black Friday as we come to you live on Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. I hope you were able to enjoy some time with your families, hopefully some good food, and a great time to reflect on what was an outstanding just fall of, for me, Catamount Athletics. It was something I was very thankful for this year. Just so many great people that I get to work with within the university and within the athletic department. And so thank you all to those of you who listen with us every week, or if you're just finding our podcast, great to have you along for the ride. This week, we're going to be joined by head coach of the UVM women's soccer team, Christy Huizenga. Christy and I talk about this full season and the development of this group. It was a group that I really enjoyed seeing because I wasn't sure what to expect at the start of this year with so many great players from previous seasons gone due to graduation. Wasn't really sure what the women's soccer team would look like this year, but they put together an outstanding fall and made a run all the way to the AmeriCAS title game, playing at home at Virtue Field. Unfortunately, just coming up short in penalty kicks. Heartbreaker against Maine, but we get into all of that and more with a Vermont Sports Hall of Famer as well. Christy grew up playing soccer in Vermont, and we go through her career path, what led her back to UVM, and even a brief time where she got to teach some goalkeeping. She was a star midfielder in her playing career at UConn, but she was a goalkeeper coach first and foremost at UVM. So we get into all of that and more with Christy Huizenga. Stick with us. Catamount Insider continues right after this.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Welcome to Catamount Insider, here with head coach of the Vermont women's soccer team, Christy Huizenga. Christy, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Brian.
All right, let's talk about the season. So much to talk about. This team had such a fun year, finishing up in the AmeriCAS title game, now a couple of weeks removed. Just look back on the full season for me, if you could kind of assess the year your team had and making it all the way back to the AmeriCAS title game, if you could just give me kind of your analysis cap of what went on this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a great year for us. We're able to put together a great conference stretch, and I mean, it's everything you can ask for to host the championship game on Virtue, especially with the excitement of soccer in the state right now. But really just couldn't be prouder of the group. Obviously, you know, the PKs didn't go the way we had hoped. The PK gods were not on our side that day, but just really solid performances all the way across conference, only losing one game and really in the last like 80 seconds of that game. Mm-hmm. So a lot to be said for this group, and especially, you know, coming off of what we lost and graduated the previous year.
A big trend of this, or storyline of this conversation, I think, is going to be about the development of this group specifically. But if we start in that AmeriCAS title game, what did the group do well to start? Because you guys came out flying, a couple early goals. Take me inside that opening half. It felt like things were really just clicking on all cylinders at that point.
Yeah, I think, you know, we came into the game with a ton of confidence, putting together some really good stretches of play, and then obviously scoring two early goals. It can be helpful. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily in the end, but if you'd asked me before the game, like, would I take two early goals? Of course, take goals where you can get them.
Right. Okay, then the second half, what kind of changed as Maine works their way back into the game and eventually gets level? How did you kind of feel it swing the other way, maybe?
I think, you know, sometimes, too, when you score, you're like, oh, we scored too early, especially against a team like Maine. You know, they're always going to hang around in the game. They have a competitive culture. And so I think, you know, it's interesting when I go back to the game all season, our sub rotation, you know, we sub Maddie Gardner and Jaslyn Oviedo into the game, and we start the game solid. We bring them in. It gives us a lift. And it was interesting because after we go up 2-0, like, same thing, we're sticking to our routine. We bring those two in, and we expect a lift. And it just started to swing the other way, and it wasn't anything that they did. It wasn't anything anyone did wrong. I think it was just a combination of, like, Maine's feeling the fire a bit, and just a little bit. It just happens. It's a it's something that happens in soccer, and you can never tell if it's the other team putting their foot on the gas or just a little bit of a letdown, and it's not a complacency. It's just an energy.
Penalty shootout, then, is always a high stressful situation for both teams. What were you thinking about kind of going into that one? And obviously you guys, I'm sure, have been preparing for that possibility throughout the playoff run, but just take me into your mindset stepping into that playoff shootout for your team.
I think, you know, at that point, it's just all about confidence, and we had trained them, you know, the couple weeks prior, throughout the week that we had the bye, obviously didn't need them against Bryant. And, you know, we felt good about how they were going in training. Didn't feel great about how it was the previous season. We had same thing, same outcome against Binghamton. Nessie saved last year in the shootout, saved three penalties and scored her own. So I think, you know, you get a little bit of a, like, side eye subbing out the goalkeeper of the year and going with another goalkeeper. But historically speaking, in training and then what she was able to do in the past, like,
had saved one in the regular season as well.
Saved one, right, saved one against Yale, and it just didn't go that way.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that decision. Just, I know you guys obviously had this plan before. What is it about Vanessa Smith we're talking about here that makes her good in those penalty situations, and why you wanted to go to her in that spot?
She's super confident. She's confident in her ability. She saves them all the time in training, and she guesses right. And there was only one in the game against Maine where she didn't guess right. She guessed right on the others, and just, you know, unfortunate.
On the other side, how do you go about trying to put your lineup then together of who's going to take penalties, and what's that process like? Is, I'm sure everybody's practicing them, but from your perspective, what are you looking for in a penalty taker?
Looking for people that are calm, that aren't necessarily rattled, you know, by the situation. And everyone's got a different technique, you know. Some are, they're going to blast the ball into the same, to the same spot. And if it, as long as it's accurate, there's no one that's making that save because it struck so hard. Bridget stepped up and no one's saving that. And then there's others that their strategy is to wait and see where the goalkeeper moves and then just tuck it where the goalkeeper's not. So, we had a little bit of a balance of both of those strategies, and, you know, we were close.
Definitely. The Bryant performance in that first playoff game, the team was absolutely flying. Lauren DeGroote specifically had a monstrous day. That had to be a satisfying win, and really felt like your team was playing at its highest level, right?
Yeah, it was a great win. It was a great performance. We were firing. We were playing so well. I was just really happy for the team to just put together such a dominant performance. The own goal at the start of the game was really unfortunate, but not surprised that we were able to bounce back, and especially to score three on Bryant, who has barely given up goals all season, was just a real lift for the group.
This team at the start of the year, I want to get into the development side of it. You mentioned how many players you lost from a year ago and players who played big roles. What did the conversations happen in the offseason? What were they like, I should say, with the players you were bringing back and players that might be stepping into larger roles on this year's team? And how did you kind of start that process of making this team its own?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it was very intentional. We lost a lot statistically. We lost a lot of leadership, lost a lot of experience. And interestingly, this current senior class, we kind of call them our COVID class. We had not seen any of them in person, really. So they were all recruited off of film. And they have sort of been, for better or for worse, a victim of us retaining fifth years for many, many years. And so they were kind of you know, to put it bluntly, they were like the babies of the team for a long time and didn't necessarily have to or were ever forced to develop their leadership skills. And so all of a sudden with two senior classes gone above them now, we knew we're like, this is your time. And we started, you know, meeting with them as a class in addition to meeting with our leadership group and just started working on our leadership skills and really what they wanted out of their experience and how we were going to make this their own and what was going to be their spin on the footprint that they leave on the program. And so it took a lot of work and we were just super proud of them. By the end of the spring, you could really start to feel it. And it took a little bit to work through the non-conference, but we got there.
What were the things in the non-conference that you were really focused on and knowing that this team needs to get better at these things if we want to compete in our conference?
Yeah, so we, coming out of the spring, we felt really good about our defense. Felt good about Kylie, felt good about our goalkeeping, felt really good about our defense. And so it sort of turned the focus on, like, how much do we need to spend fine-tuning our offense and our attack and our goal scoring. So I guess having our defensive unit so solid allowed us to spend more time on our attack. And so it was, and that was pretty evident in the non-conference. We were able to, you know, get a few shutouts and not give up a ton of goals, but we weren't scoring a lot either. And I think it was just reflecting on it, like maybe a little bit of pressure to replace what we lost, and individuals kind of putting that on themselves, not in a selfish way, but in a like, this is my job kind of way. And I think, you know, we worked really hard to try to remove that and be like, this is a collective responsibility. Here's how we need to do it. And it started to click.
Maddie Gardner's role was an interesting one. You kind of played her all over the field and a player who was new to this program in the offseason. How did you try to utilize somebody with her skill set this year? And what were ways that you found she was able to be a successful contributor this season?
Yeah, Maddie was, I mean, good on her for being able to step into a new environment, new school, new team, new everything, you know, all at once as a transfer. And she's just such an amazing athlete and a really great teammate. And she's so athletic. So it worked out well, I think, while she was adjusting to everything. We were bringing her into the game. And we just kind of stuck with that routine. And it really worked, I think, for us to settle into a game at one pace and then bring Maddie into the game. And it's just very difficult to deal with someone like that who's coming into the game when you're starting to fatigue.
The defensive midfield spot the last couple of seasons, you've used a bunch of different players in that role out of necessity. There have just been some injuries that have gone through there. Mm-hmm. Jaslyn Oviedo was kind of starting at the beginning of the year, and you mentioned that she's coming off the bench towards the end. Farah was out at the beginning, then off the bench towards the end. How is that with this team, and as you found those players, and Kaylee Kreitzer starting towards the end of the year really found that role alongside Amelia, who started for the full season, but it has to be tricky when you have to keep just rotating people in that important partnership, I know, with how your group likes to play.
Yeah, we've been making jokes for the last couple of years that there's just a curse, an injury curse on our holding mid. The last couple of years have had about six players for those two spots on the field, and they're all very good, but it just seems like they were just kind of one after another.
Yeah.
Going back to Lainey Ross last year. And so, you know, I think it's a little bit of a testament just to our just a solid style of play. They know what to expect out of the style of play, so when you know what you're looking for as you're moving the ball and as you're building, it makes it a little bit less moving pieces, I guess, for them to adjust to different players coming in and out. But again, they all have their different individual styles and assets. So it is definitely tricky, but thankfully, I think, you know, Amelia was a huge part of just kind of keeping that constant. We were able to rotate around her a little bit.
I'm curious about the formation, because as long as I've been here covering your team, that's been the way you've played, with three at the back, the wing backs, and then kind of four midfielders there, two defensive, two attacking, and a lone striker. Have you always coached that formation, or has that been something you've found over your years as a coach here?
No, it's relatively new. Actually, a little bit of a silver lining and blessing in disguise with COVID. It had been something that I wanted to try. And during the COVID season, it was like there were no expectations. I mean, you didn't know what you were going to be able to have, you know, for a team. You didn't know if you're going to be able to play or not. And so It was something that we experimented during that time when we only had six games in a shortened season, and the team really took to it and absolutely loved it. They loved playing it. I loved coaching it, and it was something that was just so enjoyable that we actually started recruiting to that system. They wouldn't have it any other way.
What is it about it that makes it so fun to play, and just that style that you want to bring to the game?
Yeah, I think a lot of players enjoy, especially the midfield. They enjoy the game running through them, there's just so many different options that it's very difficult to try to prepare for opponents to try to prepare for. If you try to take one thing away, there's something else that is dangerous. I just think it allows us a lot of flexibility as we're moving the ball, to not just get wedged into one look or one thing. And there's definitely times where you feel exposed a little bit defensively, but on the flip side, you actually have three center backs as opposed to two. So it can also protect you a little bit.
I wanted to ask the importance of those wide wing backs in that situation, because you're right, that is kind of the counter in those wide areas, I would suppose. How important is that to your team? And you got some great ones this year in Emma Warren and Delaware.
Yeah, it's huge, and they'll all laugh about it. It's a ton of running for them.
Yeah.
We rotated through there a little less this year than I would have liked. Ideally, you're running four players through those two spots to just keep the intensity up. They did great. They were super fit, super effective all year. They really, really grasped the understanding of the defensive part of that, which is big. But they're integral. They're essential to that system, and they really need to be able to get up into the attack to support the attack. They need to be able to be an outlet for us to build out of the back, and they also need to be ready to become a back four as needed. So they really grasp that, and it's part of the reason the team had so much success.
To talk about the attack then some this year, Lauren DeGroote for the first time is that starting striker, had for so long been that just sprinter off the bench who could come in and run teams ragged as kind of the deputy to Kate Bossert. But what did you see from her as a starter this year, and how did she develop from the start of the year to really becoming such a true threat every time she was out there at the end of it?
Yeah, we're super proud of Lauren. She, exactly as you said, came in as someone who it was actually awesome for us. We've had Kate who could start and hold the ball up and was a threat of her own. And then bringing Lauren into the game provided a completely different look to stretch teams defensively. And Lauren grew a lot as a player over her time here, but especially coming into this year, she turned into a striker that was really a dual threat. She developed her game in a way where she was able to hold up the ball. So if we were building from the back and needed to go directly into her, we could play into her chest. She could hold the ball up. But also, if you tried to key in on that, we would just find her in behind because she was so fast. And so there wasn't really anything defensively you could plan for or scout for, because if you tried to press her up higher, we'll just play in behind. And if you tried to drop off, we're just going to play into her body. So it was really great to see her development, and it gave our team a lot of flexibility in how we were building.
That goal she scored at the end of the half against Bryant, I blinked and I missed it in the Amerikis tournament. That type of goal, can you coach that, or is that something that she just is able to steal some goals that way with her speed and athleticism?
She willed herself to that goal. There's not a lot of players in the country, I think, that can pull that off. And I think what I love most, there's so many things I love about that goal. We talk a lot about the moments in the game, momentum swings, game management, and I don't know, what was it, 5 seconds left?
Maybe, yeah.
And she was already, I think, at the time, upset because I think Bryant was delaying the game, taking their time on a kick, and she, I think, ran and set the whole thing up and was like, she made it pretty clear she was not done with the end of the half. And then I think Sid gets on the ball, pops a great little ball over their back line, and she was like, that's it. That's all she needed. And she was off to the races. And what I love about it is she recognized the impact of what a dagger that would be. She turned on the Jets, and then for her, finishing breakaways has just been a little bit of a, I don't know, I guess a, an elephant in the room at times for her. She's had so many this year, able to finish a handful of them. Mm-hmm. But comparatively speaking to the opportunities that she's had, it's been a little bit of something that's haunted her. And I don't even think there was a doubt in her mind in that moment. She just tucked it in, and it was a huge lift for the team.
Tell me about Sydney Remington, a very technical player there in the midfield and somebody who's produced a lot for you over the years. What can you tell me about her that has allowed her to become such a key player over time in a Vermont uniform?
Yeah, Sid's been great from the onset of her arriving to UVM. She's just been an absolute dog since day one. Everything that you see from her, her work rate and tenacity in games, she does that every single day in training, to the point where there's been some trainings where we're like, it's pretty rare that this happens. Usually everything's full speed, full intensity. But there's been a couple trainings where we've done it, honestly, just for fun. Like, we're just trying to have fun today and get some touches. And we specifically have to tell Sydney multiple times that it's a fun practice, because she'll just keep going hard. And we just have to remind her. So that's just, you know, a bit about Sid. Yeah. But she's just been another player that's showed a tremendous amount of growth and really stepped up huge, especially this year.
Going to take a quick break on Catamount Insider with Christy Huizenga. She returns to Catamount Insider in a moment.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
I want to ask you about Vermont soccer as a whole. Somebody who, you were a star here in high school and now have come back to coach, and you're a Vermont Sports Hall of Fame inductee. Mm-hmm. What is it about just this sport that has taken over this community? Obviously, Vermont Green has been a huge part of it, and the men's national title a year ago, but from Vermont Green women's team to the men's side and just the popularity of this sport here, does it make you proud to see the sport that you have become so involved in around here become such a popular thing in this community and in this state especially?
Yeah, it definitely does. I can remember, just as a younger player, having a conversation with my father about, like, I really wanted to play hockey, soccer, what's it going to be? And I eventually settled in to soccer and was able to climb my way pretty quickly, just as a young player. But I can remember specifically coming to all the UVM games as a kid, whether it was any of those sports, soccer, basketball, hockey, and just loving the environment and loving being able to see the players. And I felt like I could envision that for myself. And so it's really fun now to be able to see all the young players coming to the games. We invite them to clinics, to practices, and just to see their faces light up around the players. And I just remember as a kid thinking, like, it seemed something that was in my grasp, but it also seemed like they were so old and so far away and such, like, just larger than life. And it's so funny now to coach them and see how young they look and just see their development over time. And I just love, you know, seeing the kids have access to them and to be able to picture something that they can aspire to.
Well, some of the players on your team coach at the youth level as well. How cool is that for you to get to see them? And I love every time when they have teams walk out with them. They're so great with those kids. It's a really cool part of your team and your program. Does that make you proud to see them already looking at that and coaching at the youth level?
Yeah, I do. I love that they're so immersed in all the different clubs and they're spread out amongst the clubs, and that the youth players have access to them and they can see how they carry themselves, how they coach, how they train, just their personalities. I love that they have access to that. And it's just nice to be immersed in the community. Mm.
When did you think you might want to be a coach? You obviously had such a successful playing career at UConn and then professionally as well. But when did coaching become something you were interested in?
I could never picture myself having a real, real job.
A real job, right.
And I just knew. And at the time, there wasn't anything for professional leagues or professional soccer for women. So I was like, well, I guess when I'm done college, that's going to be it. and I was playing for the national team at the time, so there was a little bit of pathway for that, but you just know that you're not going to be able to play forever. And I actually started on my coaching licenses when I was in high school.
Wow.
Because I knew. And so I finished them up during college and right after college. So it was always something that I knew. And I was just fortunate to walk right into it.
That's amazing. When did becoming a part of the UVM program become a possibility? And what was that like when you realized you might be able to come back here and be part of the team that represents your home state?
Yeah, I'm actually, it's one of those, blessings in disguise. I didn't get a job that I really wanted in Connecticut. Almost went to the police academy. Wasn't really sure. Like, I was like, do I go into the military? Do I do this? What do I do? And then I was like, I'll give it one more shot. And the part-time job was open here. And I came back here and was like working with the goalkeepers just to stay a part of it. And just grew into the head coaching role and have just absolutely loved it ever since. It's been very rewarding.
What was working with the goalkeepers like?
I didn't know what I was doing. I knew the sport.
I know how to score on you.
Right,
I don't know how to coach you.
I knew how to kick a ball. I knew the sport, but I really had to do a ton of research to be able to help them. If anything, maybe just the reps helped.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything. Thankfully, that was short-lived, thankfully for them. they have some great coaches working with them now. But, it was one of those things, like just anything to – be involved in the game and at this level and especially work that it was home and here at UVM.
That's great. Well, Christy, thank you so much for joining
Catamount
Insider this week. Great to hear about the season and good luck with everything going forward. Have fun in the off season. Maybe take a little break for me, but I know you guys are already hard at work looking at next season.
Never. Right into recruiting.
Into it. Christy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
This is Catamount Insider, everybody. Thanks again to Christy Huizenga for joining Catamount Insider this week. Never have had her on before, so I wanted to talk about her career path in general, but thought it was a good time as we recorded this one just a bit earlier in the season, or not earlier in the season, but earlier in the fall after the season had wrapped up for UVM women's soccer, and we're able to kind of pre-record one prior to the Thanksgiving episode this week. Hope everybody traveled safely and just enjoyed this episode. If you're listening on your travels back, maybe from the holiday, continue to travel safely and looking forward to seeing you all around Catamount country as the winter sports roll on. Thanks again to Christy. Thanks to those of you who found us on our podcast feed this week. I'm Brian McLaughlin. Talk to you next Friday on Catamount Insider.